This is a sermon about flaws. You remember the Sunday school story, and we just heard a portion of it, or we heard it and a little bit more, but there's this part we remember about Solomon. King David died. Solomon became king. God said, "What do you want?" And Solomon asked for wisdom. So God gave Solomon not only wisdom, but also riches and honor all his life. Therefore, may we all seek to be like Solomon. The end. That's it. Except, there's a lot more missing from that little short snippet and even this longer passage that we read today. Although it feels like somebody took a phrase, made up something that isn't at all part of the intent of that phrase, made it into a campaign slogan, and then, no matter how inaccurate it was, called it the truth. We'll probably see more of that over the next 18 months. In this case, hoping to get others to believe it enough to tell it as if it was not only accurate, but also the complete truth. And all the Sunday school stories that I read as a child, usually they ended with, "And you should be more like them." And I think that those Sunday school stories and the stories that we tell in church and the stories that we learn from each other, learn from reading the Bible, we need to tell the rest of the story. This morning's Bible reading needs a lot more so that folks don't get fooled into thinking that Solomon did everything right all of his life. Solomon did ask for wisdom. He was also deeply flawed. He made many mistakes. He didn't always act wisely. He let the temple, the glorious place, the temple that Solomon built, it became a place poisoned with power and corruption. He built other temples to many other gods. It's mentioned in here too, where he sacrificed at the high places. And he made poor decisions when it came to taxes and even raising his own children. So instead of being an example of how to be wise, he was a great example of how people, even great people, mess up in huge ways. A friend of mine, Kate Huey, who's also the dean of the Amistad Chapel of the United Church of Christ in Cleveland, she's a writer for Weekly Seeds, and she says this really short snippet about this short snippet. Today's passage is a golden moment in an otherwise bloody and certainly instructive narrative of infidelity, violence, and sin. That's Solomon's life. Bloody narrative, infidelity, violence, sin, and of course, wisdom. But where is the wisdom? What is this wisdom? How is it that Solomon is remembered as a ruler of wisdom instead of a ruler of blood, infidelity, violence, and sin? That makes up a large part of his life. And if it were a political campaign, we would just focus on that. We wouldn't focus at all on the wisdom. If we were to put together a biography, a really good biography of Solomon, we would see that he supported by his actions and sometimes by exactly like he did these things himself, but he was involved in all of this: assassinations, polytheism, violent government takeovers, selfishness, the pursuit of power, continuing and continuing and continuing, unfair labor practices, and massive spending on a temple project, the temple, that really... Maybe I'm jumping to conclusions here, but I think that that temple project and even the temple project that we hear about today is more about arguments and power than anything else. And do we brush aside those things because it makes Solomon look bad and Solomon has to look good because he's one of the Bible heroes? Because he did have some heroic things that he did. He did have thoughtful decision-making. He was an authentic listener. And he did show discernment between good and evil on many, many, many occasions. And I think we'd probably be in agreement that that first part with the assassinations, colloquialism, all that stuff, they show a lack of wisdom, perhaps, at least maybe not good decision-making. And then these last ones show wisdom. But can we call someone who makes so many mistakes wise? We can. We don't. We call people who make mistakes awful just to find a way to demonize an opponent or something like that. But sure, we can call a person who makes mistakes, huge mistakes, wise. We're not only allowed to do that, but it is the mistakes and learning from those mistakes that give wisdom. Here's what God said, "Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind." I think that when we hear that, when we read the story, when I heard it in Sunday school, Solomon asked for wisdom, he got it, the end, we think that this wise and discerning mind just got implanted into him immediately. And I'm positive it didn't happen that way. Even look, there's one line in here that says, "I am an infant." Or no, what does it say? "I am a little child." Now I can't find it in the inheritance. Yeah. "God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child." He asked for wisdom there, but he didn't start acting perfectly. He didn't act perfect the rest of his life. But you can't just get wisdom. It can't be just thrown at you and boom, I'm wise. Wisdom comes from messing up repeatedly and learning from our mistakes. And of course, Solomon, though he was wise and though he did learn from his mistakes, he did not learn from all of his mistakes. He was wise. He was flawed. He was a wise and flawed leader. And his story, and really the story of all the kings of Israel and Judah, including David, fit right into that big picture that we see in the Bible, the meta-narrative of God does something good and we mess up, and God does something good and we mess up, and God creates something new and we mess up. Dating back to Saul, God had instructed the people that they didn't really want a king. They didn't have a king. Saul was just a wise person who blessed people and told people wise advice, sage advice. But the people came to Saul and said, or before, I'm sorry, that's Saul, Samuel. The people came to Samuel and said, "We want a king." And God said, "No, you don't. No, you don't want a king." But they insisted, "No, we really need a king. We know better than you." And so God said, "All right, here's your king." It didn't really work out so well. The kings made mistake after mistake. Government was overthrown. The government was taken over. There were battles and wars. God said, "You don't want a king." They wanted a king. God found a way somehow to make good from all of that. So how about if we remember Solomon as a king who messed up royally and one whom God still loved dearly? Solomon made mistake after mistake, and God still was able to get things done. So I wonder, what can we learn from this wise, flawed ruler? I don't think that we can just go with, "He was wise, we should be wise," because that takes time. We can strive for that. We can learn from our mistakes. We can trust in God to guide us, and when we make mistakes, to forgive us. But what can we learn from this wise, flawed ruler? Shall we follow his example? Make all those mistakes? Assassinations, polytheism, violent government takeover, selfishness, the continuing pursuit of power, unfair labor practices, massive spending on a temple that's still more about arguments than about anything else? Or shall we learn from his thoughtful decision-making, his authentic listening, his discernment between good and evil? can see wisdom in those last three. We don't have to follow the others. And it isn't the case of do as I say, not as I do. We can learn from the mistakes of others too by not repeating those same mistakes. There's a 17th century Japanese poet, Matsuo Basho, and he offers these words of wisdom. They are beautiful. Do not seek to follow in the footsteps of the wise. Seek what they sought. So, may we seek wisdom. May we trust in God's patience and God's unconditional love as we continue on this journey, this quest. Amen.